There are many issues that plague youth. The church acts as a safe haven. It provides a place where youth can come together to hear the Word of God. Upper Room Media presents to you this Youth Talk, delivered from Sydney, Australia.
It's a pleasure to be here. When I first heard about this talk, when I first asked this talk, it was meant to be in a youth meeting. And then the one good thing about coronavirus was I went through and I deleted all of the talks that I had to do because I thought they'd all be cancelled. But unfortunately, it turned into this, so it's from bad to worse. But anyway, we're here now. And the topic that I've been asked to talk about is the final words of Jesus on the cross, which is, "It is finished." Or in another translation, "It is accomplished." So I just wanted to spend just a short time talking about what exactly is accomplished on the cross. And throughout Christianity, people have come up with different ways of explaining the mystery of salvation. So they've decided that, they've argued that there are different ways of looking at it, and how do we understand it in our limited way of understanding? How do we understand what it means that Christ came down and died for us on the cross? Now, one theory that emerged sort of in the Middle Ages, and you can see that it's where it's come from, is this satisfaction theory, where God the Father is seen as like a feudal lord, and he sends his only begotten son, or Jesus takes on the debt that humanity couldn't pay to this kind of like feudal lord. That's a satisfaction theory of atonement. In the sort of latter stage after the Reformation, you have more of a courtroom theory, where we call it the penal substitution theory, where it's more like a courtroom where there is an offence that has been committed by humanity. Humanity cannot make satisfaction for that offence, and satisfaction needs to be made. And Christ becomes that satisfaction, saving us from the wrath of God which we had incurred through our sin. And when you look at it that way, salvation is kind of like a one-off event, where Jesus pays the price, and from that moment on, we are rendered innocent through our faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the terminology that you'll often hear in Western churches, where you are rendered right or justified through one particular decision that you make at a specific point in your time, in your life, to make a decision for God, because Christ has paid the ransom to God the Father, or he's paid the ransom, and the wrath of God is now over. But I think in the Orthodox Church, we see things in a slightly different way. Of course, all of these elements have some truth to them. They're ways of understanding something that in many ways is not easy to fit into human understanding. But the Orthodox see it slightly different in the sense that Christ achieved something much greater than simply wiping away a debt or cutting away a sin. Christ achieved something much greater. In Adam, all sinned. So in Adam, all humanity turned away from God and into themselves and chose for themselves their own selfish desires, lusts, so on and so forth. Christ became man not to take away or to pay the price of sin to a wrathful God in this way of understanding it, but to take on human nature and reunite it with God by behaving in the correct way, by being the perfect man, by destroying death through his divine death. And when he came and he did that, humanity in its fall had turned this way. Now in his incarnation, in his death and in his resurrection, he reoriented us back towards God. And so now we have the ability to be united with God, and we are now healed so that we can be connected with God again. And through that process of our life, through that process of coming to God, we then become more and more united with him, in this process that St. Peter talks about, becoming partakers of the divine nature. So Jesus is the second Adam, the perfect man. He took on everything that it means to be human. And St. Gregory, the theologian, says, what was not assumed was not healed. So everything he assumed, and that was everything. He assumed all of human nature, all of human weakness, all of human suffering, and he healed it. When he was baptized, he healed the water. Everywhere he went, he healed all of creation and reoriented it back to the Father. So it's not so much a courtroom when we talk about salvation. It's more of a hospital. It's more that we are being healed. Salvation is a little bit different. At baptism, yes, we are saved, but because it is a process of healing, that process occurs immediately. We are saved in baptism, in taking off the new man and rising taking off the old man and rising the new man. But it is also a journey. It is the end point, but it's also the journey. If you think about it, if I'm bitten by a deadly snake and I go to hospital and I'm given an antidote, from that moment, my life has been saved. The poison has no power over me anymore because I've been saved. But there is still a process of recovery. The venom is still in my veins. It still has to come out. Now, that's just an analogy. But there still has to be a recovery. I can't just go out and behave completely normal, pretending that there's nothing left still inside of me. And so Christians, I think we have to have this attitude that Christ's death accomplished salvation. It's done. So in that sense, we agree with many Western churches that yes, we are saved from the moment that we are baptized, from the moment we make that decision for Christ, we are saved. But it is a journey and it is a process. But from the moment I start that journey, it's assured. So long as I'm on that path, it doesn't matter when I die, it doesn't matter how I die, it doesn't matter what happens. If I'm on that path to salvation, or if I'm on the path of God that he has given to us, then my salvation is assured. And the only way I lose that salvation is if the path that has been opened up for me to God to be reunited with him is I turn from it and I go back on my own path and I go make my own path through the woods and through the forest and across the road and wherever I go. That's my decision to walk away from the path of God and back into myself, my own desires. No, I want this in my life. And so I'm going to go down this path. I want to behave this way. So I go down this path. It is my decision then to veer off the path that has been set for me. And that's the only way I can lose my salvation. In Psalm 85, it says, "Righteousness will go before him and shall make his footsteps our pathway." So Jesus' footsteps are our pathway. This is what he has accomplished. When he came and he took on our nature and he died and lived and died the perfect death in complete submission to the Father, what he did was he showed us exactly now how to walk this path, exactly what I need to do to follow this path. And sometimes I think that we feel scared, especially in a time like this, with coronavirus or at any other time when we get sick or anything happens. If we get scared, sometimes we have this feeling, if I die now, where am I going? If I die now, will I make it to heaven? And this is a good question in a sense, because it makes me start to reevaluate and consider my spiritual life, maybe for the first time. But this is the starting point of a journey. If this is my whole life, feeling this way, something has gone badly wrong in my spiritual life. Something has gone completely wrong in my journey, because I'm feeling fear when we know from St. John, perfect love casts out fear. So think of the spiritual life as a journey. It's like a child. A baby has a certain way of thinking, and that way of thinking changes dramatically when they become a toddler, and changes dramatically when they become an adolescent, and changes dramatically when they become an adult. Every experience that child went through has contributed to their formation. So when they were learning to walk and they fell over, when they fell off their bike and got back on the bike, when they fought and they made up with their friends, when they were acting out as adolescents and trying to get their own independence, when they studied hard for exams, everything that you do in your process of adulthood goes and contributes to your physical and mental formation. Our spiritual life is exactly the same. Sometimes we fall off the bike. Sometimes we are angry with God. Sometimes we doubt God. Sometimes we struggle badly in our spiritual life and it seems impossibly hard. But this is the journey of salvation. And each one of those experiences, if we lay them at the feet of Christ, they become part of our formation in our spiritual struggle. And Jesus had the exact same journey, but at every point he demonstrated what perfect humanity is. If possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will. That's perfect humanity, is I have a desire for this, but your will be done. Right now, as a person, I have a desire for sleep, but God, your will be done. I won't sleep. I'll stand up and pray. I'll go to church. I will serve. I'll do whatever. That is perfect humanity, and that is the pathway that Christ has taken, and his footsteps become our pathway. So it's a very simple equation, really. Christ has accomplished everything there is to accomplish on the cross. And it's not simply Jesus paying the price to God, rendering us innocent, done and dusted. No, Christ's healing is restorative. It's about healing. It's about taking us back and uniting us with God. It's not about divine justice. It's about divine love. And it's not a one-off substitution, but a journey back to the Father. So just to conclude, how do we embark on this journey? It's like I said, you know, we make Christ's footsteps our pathway. We follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And there are a few important principles. The first important principle to recognize is that the journey is one of healing. And healing sometimes involves cutting away, cauterizing some pain. This is by the nature of healing in many respects. When you have a virus or a bacteria in your body, you go through pain. Your body temperature rises to increase the temperature to make it more toxic to the virus or the bacteria. When you have a bug in your stomach, you have terribly violent vomiting and diarrhea, whatever it is. It's not a pleasant experience, but that's healing. There's a process happening there to restore my equilibrium back. When a surgeon cuts out a tumor of a cancer, there is a process of cutting and pain and recovery and all of these things, but the end result is that I'm being made well. So the journey sometimes has its tribulations, and that is something we have to be prepared for. That following, if we follow the Lamb, who is Jesus, he suffered. He had tribulations more than any of us could ever imagine, and he suffered so much more than us, so that no one could ever say, you don't understand. No one has that right anymore. No human has that right to say to God, you don't understand. He understands. That's what the whole purpose of his journey was. And so because he has suffered, we have to. But it's not a suffering for, you know, it's not sadistic or anything like that. It is restorative. It is healing. And that's what is happening when we are on this pathway. Christ is a surgeon cutting away the badness in us, cutting away the selfishness, the pride, the lust, all of those things to reveal himself deep within us. Secondly, the point I want to make is when you go on this journey, your salvation is assured. You are guaranteed salvation. You just have to stay on the path. If you are on that path, you are assured salvation. If you sin and you fall short, then despair is never the option. I sinned, maybe because I took my eyes off God's footsteps for a second, I got distracted with something over here, and then I tripped. But the answer is not to lie down and go, it's finished, I can't get up again. The answer is to get back up immediately and keep moving forward. Get back up, repent, confess, move forward. And if I fall 10 times or 100 times in a day, it makes zero difference to my journey of salvation if every time I get up and keep walking. So that's really what we need to remember, is that nothing you can do can undo what Christ has accomplished. It's accomplished. It's finished. There's nothing I can do that can undo it, no matter how hard I try. The only thing that can undo it is if I refuse it, is if I don't want it. But if I want it, then no sin, no mistake, nothing can get in the way and unaccomplish what Christ has accomplished. And so this is something that we have to remember, that sin is an opportunity for us. It's an opportunity to learn humility, to learn repentance, to learn patience, and to remember that I'm still on the path. I'm still on the path. The other point that I want to make, the final point that I'll say, is that Jesus brought us back. Jesus came down to earth, died on the cross, and was resurrected for a purpose. And that purpose was to unite us with the Father, to bring us back to him. This is our goal in life. Our goal in life, what Christ has accomplished, is now we are able to know him, to know God. This is an opportunity for us to speak to him face to face. All we have to do is enter into our bedroom, enter into the private place of our heart and speak to him. What was accomplished was our ability to communicate with God directly now. We have, through Jesus Christ, a divine mediator. And so now we speak to God directly. And all of these things in our ability to know him, in every aspect of our life, we can know him, especially in our service. Mother Teresa, she used to say that the priest, when he is praying the liturgy, he handles the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And that is a beautiful gift given to the priests. But she said, for me and my nuns, we handle the body of Christ every day on the streets, when we bring one in, when we heal their wounds, when we give them dignity, when we endure their smell and the rotting flesh, and we clean them and we dress them. Their hands, when we touch their bodies, we are touching the body of Christ. That is our liturgical experience in service. And so in service, when you serve someone and you see in them Christ, you are knowing him. When somebody is down, lonely, miserable, depressed, suffering, sick, and we visit them and we suffer with them, then we are handling the body and blood of Jesus Christ. And that is our way of knowing him, through our service and through our own personal prayer life. So that's the final point I want to make, that everything we do in our life, if you are honest, if you struggle, if you try to pray every day to know him, and if you're serving, no matter what you do, no matter what sin you do in your life, your salvation is assured. And over the course of your life, it should never be, oh, am I going to go to heaven or not? Did I make it? Did I make the cut? You know, I hope I just edge in. You know, I'll have one of those little tiny mansions. It should never be about that. It should be about, I know where I'm going to be because I know who I love here and now. I know him now, I'm going to know him then. That's what Christ accomplished, and it's really the greatest gift that any of us could ever dream of or hope for, that he gave us in that moment on the cross.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart, and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.